This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for this first hour. We have been seeing just extreme, historic moves in a wide range of markets and, quite frankly, in government action. So much of the world is shut down. Even back home in Vancouver, for me, BC has declared a state of emergency. Not the first time they've done this, but the last few times were due to wildfires. And, quite frankly, everybody is more or less stuck at home, and we don't know how long we are going to be stuck at home. That follows some of the news that came out this week from California and New York. It seems like the whole world is going into some sort of a shutdown phase, and economies are grinding to a halt. The theme of this first hour is going to be the theory and strategy of moving towards cash, a cash portfolio, selling stocks, trying to get away from this general fear-based market and world that we are living in right now. I'm going to take a look at this move to cash from a couple different angles. I'm starting off this show with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, let's look at this move to cash when it comes to the currency markets and this spike that we have seen in the U.S. dollar. I first want to get your comments on what the Fed has done over the last week to try to stabilize some of these currency markets. Please share with us your recap of Fed policies and what their goals are behind them.
Yeah, sure. So we distinguish two things about Fed policy, right? One is the kind of like the QE and the assets they're buying in the U.S. But those aren't really aimed domestically. What I want to talk about is the currency swaps that they've offered foreign central banks. During the great financial crisis, these swap lines were in place on a temporary basis with many central banks. And it seemed to work. There was counterparty risk. Markets didn't want to lend to foreign banks. That is, U.S. banks didn't want to lend to foreign entities. And so the central bank stepped in there. The Federal Reserve made dollars available to, say, like the European Central Bank or the Bank of Canada. And then those central banks would auction them off to their members. And so that's how partly, I would say, an underappreciated element that helped us get out of the great financial crisis. So about a week ago, last Sunday, before the markets opened in Asia, the Federal Reserve announced that those swap lines with five central banks were permanent and that they were going to change it to make it more useful. And what they did was previously the banks had the banks who eventually borrowed it, the U.S. would charge 50 basis points on top of effectively Fed funds rate. And what they did last week is they cut that to 25 basis point premium only. And they also offered, instead of just a week, 1 week swap, they offered an 84 day or roughly a 3 month swap. The idea there is that why they offered the swap lines is because they see that other countries, other companies, the whole global financial system is basically, you really can pull away and look at the plumbing of it, that financial system really has the dollar as a key element. Not the way we think about usually with trade flows or central bank reserves, but in terms of funding operations, in terms of funding supply chains, in terms of funding hedge funds. It includes, think about the Japanese life insurance companies who buy American collateralized loan obligations, those CLOs. Rather than take currency risk, they borrow dollars and then buy the CLOs. And so what happens then in this kind of world in which money is borrowed to make purchases, as those assets have to be sold off, this kind of painful market, as the asset is sold off, now they have to buy back the dollars they previously sold. that we have borrowed the dollar, they got to pay back those dollars that were borrowed. So right now, I think that the Federal Reserve, their first instinct is, well, the problem is not one of the price of the dollar, but access to it. So let's see if these swap lines work. So we've had several swaps this week. Europe took down the most. But it hasn't necessarily relieved pressure in the spot market, where since those swaps were conducted, the dollar has still strengthened. So the Federal Reserve took a second bite of the apple and offered swap lines to more central banks, including some emerging markets like Mexico, Brazil, and South Korea. And it's early to say, because those auctions haven't worked, but even the signal, the announcement of them, hasn't given much traction. So just before the weekend, the Federal Reserve announced a third bite of the apple. And that was, instead of just offering this 1 week and this 84-day facility, the Federal Reserve also going to say that announced that they want to auction these dollars or give these dollars to the foreign central banks on a daily basis on the key central banks. I don't want to insult anybody, but the four or five major central banks they had permanent lines with. Those central banks they can auction off dollars to their customer, to their member banks on a daily basis. And it still does not appear, that announcement still, it helped cause the foreign currency to bounce, the dollar to pull back a little bit, but it's not really sticking. And here's why. And this, I think, gets us to really your point about this move to cash. I think that what's happening is people want dollars spot. As they get out of those funding positions, they want to be targeted a dollar obligation. It's not just transferring them, but it's really extinguishing them. So I think that it's important that the Federal Reserve does these steps, and it's kind of important. I think I made this point on other time at the show, was that what the officials do is they climb an escalation ladder. And unlike us in the market and individually, they don't typically want to skip rungs in the ladder. So that's why the Federal Reserve took like three bites, or why the federal government in the U.S. has issued, I think we're working on our third fiscal package. Many countries have announced more than one fiscal package in the past couple of weeks. And so they're gradually climbing like an escalation ladder. And so if the swaps don't work to help ease the distortions in the markets, this demand for cash, then I think they'll have to gradually move, or they will gradually move toward thinking about actual intervention. And, you know, the last two big dollar rallies we've had, that is Reagan dollar rally in the first half of the 80s and the Clinton-Rubin dollar rally in the second half of the 90s, both of them ended with coordinated intervention. Now, I'm not saying that it's around the corner. I'm saying that the bar is still kind of high for it. Countries are still resisting it. And it's sort of like what that quote from like Winston Churchill said about Americans. They're so clean that you can count on Americans to do the right thing after they've exhausted the alternatives. And I think that's what we're doing now, is where we policymakers broadly are exhausting the possible alternatives. And as they exhaust the alternatives, they climb higher on that escalation ladder. But the drive here is not buying the dollar to go long because you're worried about it as a safe haven. So there might be some element of that. What I'm suggesting about the funding is that what's really going on is a big short covering rally in the dollar. People that use the dollar as a funding currency are, in essence, short the dollar, and they have to buy it back.
Well, I hope you're right, Mark, but hey, we just have no idea, first of all, how this is all going to play out and how long we are all going to be stuck in some form of isolation, and then how that does actually carry over to the economies domestically and internationally, because they are really getting crushed right now. And I know small businesses, individuals, and even these large businesses are struggling quite a bit. We're going to wrap it up here, Mark. Good chatting with you. Some interesting insights on these currency markets. Everybody stick around. As I mentioned, we're going to be sticking with this theme of race to cash, but why is that race happening? Mark, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody. Stay well.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Mortgage rates have dropped 25%, the lowest mortgage rates in years. So maybe you should drop everything and call Zoom Refi. Refinance your home now and slash your mortgage payments. Take cash out and save maybe hundreds of dollars every month. Zoom Refi mortgage rates are super low. Zoom Refi closing costs are super low. And Zoom, we approve you right over the phone, even for no income check loans. Big drop in mortgage rates. Big opportunity for you to save money. Call Zoom Refi. Refi today. 888-291-9729. 888-291-9729. Save on mortgage payments. Save on closing costs. Call Zoom Refi. 888-291-9729. Advertising by marketing entity Zoom Refi. Zoom Refi is not a bank or financial company. Calls and other inquiries may be forwarded to third-party lenders who are solely responsible for reviewing, approving, and servicing any loan. Zoom Refi is not affiliated with any state or federal agency and does not provide mortgage advice or help. No income check loans are for investment properties only, and income must be sufficient to service debt.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Your weekly fix
on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed the first conversation with Mark Chandler. I am now chatting with Mike Larson. He writes the Safe Money Report over at Weiss Research. Now, Mike, you know what? This is a crazy time in these markets. There's no doubt about that. But the theme of this show this weekend is this move to cash or race to cash because of all the fears in the market. We saw the U.S. dollar spike to almost 103 on the dollar index, pulled back a little bit at the tail end of the week. But on top of the move by the dollar, we also saw the VIX close one day this week, early on this week, at an all-time high level. And we've also seen volatility just creep into, well, every market. We hit circuit breakers, what, three or four times just this week? It was insane. What is your whole take from this move that we have seen in this race to cash type of environment?
Sure, you're absolutely right, Corey. The kind of action here, I mean, I was trying to kind of dimensionalize it for someone earlier, and I was explaining it as a combination of the first couple of days after the 9/11 attacks where markets were trying to get back on their feet, plus what was happening in the Great Financial Crisis in October 2008, and something more even beyond that. You know, every financial crisis, every crisis is unique. This one is probably unlike anything most investors, if not all, have really seen in their professional careers. And what we're seeing in the equity markets is clearly stunning. I mean, we had a 3,000-point drop in the Dow, second worst one-day decline outside of Black Monday in 1987. But as a guy who follows the credit markets very closely, I think what's happening there, it's less visible than, you know, the Dow Jones that's on the nightly news and so on to average investors, but it's even more significant. I mean, you're seeing dislocations in the credit market, municipal bond yields shooting up. So, you know, the cost of borrowing money as a city, state, school district, whatever is soaring. Commercial paper where corporations receive or obtain short-term loans just to kind of cover liquidity needs for, you know, a month or two or three. Interest rates on those short-term loans are skyrocketing. You're seeing the junk yields on junk bonds and junk bond prices. Yields are soaring. Prices are tanking. I mean, we've seen the biggest one-week rise in the cost of getting money for a high-risk corporation ever. I mean, worse than in 2008. So all those things rolled into one, plus the soaring dollar, which is happening not for a good reason. It's happening because all these foreign banks and foreign investors are desperately trying to get their hands on U.S. dollars, so that's driving the cost up. All of this just speaks to the tremendous amount of stress in the credit markets. And that's why you're seeing, I mean, if you look behind the scenes, you know, it's bad enough when you see a stock like Boeing, which was, you know, 400 and something several months ago, and now it was less than $100, or, you know, all the airlines, hotel companies, I mean, there's huge declines there. But if you look at some of these non-bank lenders, these business development companies, or some of these REITs that are out there that make loans, that did a lot of the risky lending in this credit cycle versus a lot of the banks in the last credit cycle, these stocks are down 70%, you know, 80% in a week. It's stunning. And that just, again, that shows that behind the scenes, behind the Dow and the S&P, the stress in the system is enormous. And it's a combination of two things. Obviously, the acute catalyst is the virus outbreak, what it means for everything from consumer spending to travel spending to business spending to the income being shut down. I mean, you know, I feel so bad for these people that work at living in Florida, for example. I mean, the tourism industry here, the restaurant industry, bars, hotels, all of that. I mean, people are losing their jobs left and right. It's going to be a really, really bad situation for that part of the economy. So that's going to be an issue on the income side. But the other issue that really set us up for this is coming into this unforeseen black swan event, this virus outbreak, we were in a very fragile financial system. And that's because we've been for years and years encouraged by central banks here in the U.S. and overseas. We've been taking on enormous amounts of risk in the corporate debt market. Corporations have sold more debt than ever before, are the most heavily indebted and most heavily leveraged than they've ever been. It's almost exactly like what you saw mortgage borrowers doing in the early 2000s. So when something set off the mortgage crisis, interest rates going up and house prices peaking, the damage was extraordinary because people had so much risk in the system. This time around, you've had enormous corporate bond risk, enormous leverage and stupid lending and borrowing going on in the corporate arena. So, of course, I didn't foresee the catalyst for a sell-off there for this process. And, of course, it's happening much faster because the virus is such a sort of a hard shutdown event for the economy. But there was always going to be a crisis that was going to come out of this. It was just most likely going to be a lot slower in terms of playing out in a plain vanilla recession scenario, whereas this is obviously much worse. So it's a very troubling time. It's very uncertain. The Fed and the fiscal authorities are trying to throw everything they can at this problem. So far, it hasn't had much of an impact. And that's understandable, just given the depth and severity of what's unfortunately probably coming at the U.S. economy right now.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's wrap it up with an investment angle here. As I mentioned, you do write the Safe Money Report. What do you think of safe haven assets outside of the U.S. dollar? Are these viable now, or is it still the market where too much fear and too much bad news could be around the corner? They get washed out with everything else if there is more downside here.
Sure. Well, yeah, we've been talking for the last couple of years, and I've been stressing that in this late cycle environment, before any of this virus stuff happened, you wanted to be in boring stuff. Utilities, REITs, consumer staples, anything with yield, stability, recession resistance in terms of their business model. And that worked phenomenally well. Many of the positions in Safe Money Report that were in sectors like utilities did great. Coming into this year, and especially as the first signs of this turmoil came in, I was aggressively dialing down the portfolio, liquidating at big gains, a couple, one or two nasty losses, but mostly big gains. And just, raising cash, dialing things up because I really think I was really expecting this situation to get worse, especially with what I was seeing in the credit markets. So mostly we headed into this pretty well. We actually were taking profits when the markets were starting to fall. We have a couple positions that got hammered, and that's just how it is. But we're also hedged against downside. Right now I have an inverse ETF in there. I have some a physical gold and physical silver position and a ton of cash. And that's essentially – and maybe one or two stocks in conservative sectors. And that's about it. I think that that kind of positioning, it's not 100% perfect, but it's probably as good as things are going to get in this market environment. And I'm sitting on my hands. I think that, and you want to be hedged. You want to have a lot of cash. If you're going to be in stocks, consumer staples type things, stuff like that could still work. But we have to steel ourselves against a potentially serious economic downturn. I mean, I saw one estimate come out. We could have next week 2 million jobless claims filing in this country. In the worst of the great financial crisis, I think the highest 1 week total was like 600 and something thousand. I mean, this is stunning. And again, it's just starting to happen. So that's why I think you just need to be defensive. You need to understand this is a truly unprecedented situation. And it came and it struck a market that was already priced for perfection with extremely overvalued assets, extreme risk taking in many parts of the debt market. And that means that, even if we get past this sort of acute virus related fear phase, which I know we will as a country, we will get through this. Once we get past that, we still have to deal with the fact that we're underlying imbalances, assets were still expensive, and the economy was probably facing a recession in 2020 anyway. All of that argues for playing defense, and that, it may be boring, but you know what? Boring's a lot better than some of the alternatives.
Yes, it is. You're not going to get any arguments from me on that one. All right, Mike, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend. Have a good weekend, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035.
That's 800-667-9035.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Hospitals and lab workers say they're running out of protective gear and testing supplies to help the fight against the coronavirus. President Trump says the effort against it is working.
We haven't been given the credit that we deserve.
He became combative during the press conference, going after reporters who he says are much too critical when asking about medical supplies and testing shortfalls. When asked what he'd say to Americans who are scared, the president told one correspondent he's a terrible reporter.
It's a very bad signal that you're putting out to the American people.
He says people are looking for answers.
We're winning and we're going to win this war.
He differed with his own health officials on the science of the outbreak. Worldwide, close to 250,000 people have been infected in the outbreak. There's been over 10,000 deaths, and 4,000 of them are in Italy. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these final two segments, we're going to focus a lot on resource investing, stock-specific investing, and the whole concept of moving to 100% cash. I'm starting here with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. And Dave, you and I have been chatting throughout this week, and you have been issuing a number of updates to your subscribers. I know you were really battling with this decision, but this week you did share with your subscribers that due to all the fear and really uncertainty that is around the world and in financial markets, you've decided to clear out your portfolio, your resource-focused portfolio, and move 100% into cash. This is a major move, and hey, as I mentioned, I've been following along with you, and we've been discussing the potential of doing this. Now, this is why I wanted to bring you on the show and discuss. First and foremost, please share with us your main concerns that drew you to this conclusion to sell everything and build your 100% cash position.
Yeah, Corey, my main concern is my family and my subscribers. You know, I mean, I owe it to all of them to basically lay it on the line and tell it like it is. That we do not want to be speculating in high risk mining stocks right now, and as you know, most of my portfolio was the higher risk explorers and developers. And I also had to sell all the profits that I had in a few producers to cover the losses that I had in the developers and explorers. And as you know, Corey, I am completely transparent, and my subscribers know every move that I make ahead of time. And it was a very, very difficult decision to make. But it was absolutely the right decision to make, because this situation keeps getting worse and worse day by day. You see today, you see governors on both coasts basically panicking. And when you see that, the last thing you want to be doing is speculating in high-risk stocks. So I feel very, even though I had my portfolio cut in half personally, I lost paper profits is what I lost. I have a very strict risk management system that I adhere by. So I've taken some profit this year and banked it. I've taken a lot of profit over the past 3 years and banked it. So I'm fine. My family is now fine. And when my portfolio got down to its original investment total, I said, okay, this is it. I got to pull the plug, and I have to be honest with myself and my subscribers that, hey, rule number one, cardinal sin number one, is never lose your original investment capital. So I have now done that. I'm safely in cash. I do have a small position in a short bond fund that's doing well. I put that position on when yields got down to like 0.4%. I mean, the bond bubble is obviously burst because everyone is selling everything to get into king dollar, get into cash. And every single helicopter drop that these governments are doing is not working. It causes a little bounce, and then the bounce is sold. So the next model that we're looking at here is quite possibly the 1929 model, which would see the stock market go down about another 6%. I would not be surprised to see that. So it's just a really good time to just step back, take a deep breath, have a nice pile of cash, and wait to see how this plays out.
So, Dave, I understand this move. Obviously difficult to sell all the positions because you do a lot of research. I read over your newsletter regularly. You put in a lot of time, and you build relationships with these companies. So, obviously putting your portfolio and really your family first, how does that relate to these companies, though, that no doubt are going to be struggling if this fear remains in these markets?
Yeah, I had to factor in all of this. My family, my subscribers come first. But, you know, like you said, I've developed relationships with these people. I've been, you know, invested in some of these companies for a few years. And they're doing an incredible job, especially under the circumstances. And it just pained me to do it. But it was just the right decision to make. And I'm confident that they will persevere and they will come back. But I'm not sure from what level. And since I have no idea how long this will last, nor does anybody else, I felt the best action to take was to just go to cash and wait and see what happens. You know, I'm going to continue to cover these companies in my newsletter. What I've decided to do is since I don't have any companies anymore, I've got a few placements that I can't sell. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have three separate watch lists, a lower risk watch list, a medium risk watch list with developers and explorers, and an early stage watch list where the higher risk explorers are. And I'm confident that most of these companies will survive and they'll be okay. But like I said, the decision was based on my subscribers and my family first. Some of them have already reached out to me saying they understand, which makes me feel so much better. And these are wonderful people, and like I said, they're doing an incredible job. So I'm sure that they'll be fine. But and I fully expect to get back into their companies when this thing ends.
All right, so to your point of how crazy these markets are, so far during this panic, central banks, we have seen 14 of them cut rates, and some of the major central banks, they are out there aggressively buying assets, and you're right, you know what, it has not led to a big buy coming into the market, or really any sort of stabilization. What I want you to address, though, is now that you're in all cash, what is going to be your deciding factor that tells you that it's time to get back into these markets?
That's a great question, Corey. You know, first of all, I'm looking at levels on the A2Y and the GDX of at least testing their 2016 lows. That's a possibility. And maybe even a little lower. And if I see a spike low down there, I think the only thing that I would want to nibble on, if with some of my cash, since I'm all in cash, I wouldn't mind speculating a little bit on some royalty companies. Because royalty companies, I know, although Sandstorm came out and said, you know, we're pretty much changing, we're pretty much changing what our production is going to look like, because we don't know which mines are going to shut down, we don't know what streams are going to be affected. But these royalty companies, they do nothing but throw off cash. They have low G&A and they have employees that can work from home. So I would look to maybe do something like that with a little bit of it. But as far as speculating in anything that just consumes capital, I would look for some of these companies possibly going down to cash value before I would start to nibble, if the situation got better in this crisis, if we started to see a light at the end of this tunnel. As far as producers are concerned, that's the next rung of the lower risk category would be growth oriented producers that have really low cost mines and safe jurisdictions, but they're going to be shut down. They got higher G&A than an exploration company. Sure, an exploration company can hunker down, shut down their operations, you know, cut down their G&A, but they could also go down to cash value. So it's going to be really difficult to try to navigate if you want to try to navigate it before we see a light at the end of this tunnel in this crisis.
Hey, I'm with you, Dave. Unprecedented times, and our thoughts and everything go out to you and your family and all of our listeners, everybody out there. That might be maybe the one good thing that could come out of all of this, is everyone taking a step back and focusing on the individuals in the world and trying to help out who they can, when they can, in this really uncertain time still. But hey, Dave, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your whole strategy of going to 100% cash. I'm going to wrap up this show with some more comments regarding that strategy, but in the meantime, hey, if you want to get in touch with Dave, send me an email. I'll forward your email on to him. My email is fleck@kereport.com. Dave, thanks for your time. Have a good weekend. Get some sleep, my friend.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody has enjoyed the three segments prior to this one and kind of continuing on that trend of this general race to cash. I am chatting with Jordan Royburn, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, you and I were chatting off mic and you were mentioning some research that you were doing regarding the crash that we are currently arguably in the middle of for stocks, just not just in the U.S., but globally. And technically stocks across the board, doesn't even matter what asset you're in, stocks are continuing to head down. You're comparing the crash to 1929. Can you please share some of this analog that you are playing off of or trading off of right now?
Well, I'm just looking at the research that other people have done following the two together. What happened in 1929 in that 29 to 32 historic bear was, I mean, you had three legs. You had a first leg down that was really sharp, which I think was about 2 months. And then you actually had a pretty good 50% retracement. And that lasted, I'm looking at it now, maybe 5+ months or so. And then you kind of had the water torture down third phase. So we're in the first phase where for the S&P right now to match what the stock market did in 1929, it'd have to go down to 21.35. I don't know where it closed, but it's getting a lot closer. I think, I don't know if we made a low tick today compared to a couple days ago, but a couple days ago on the low tick, I believe we were about 5 or 6% away from that point. So in recent days, I've been thinking the stock market is going to rally. Of course, it's struggled. It hasn't quite happened yet. You know, even after yesterday, we had a couple hammers the last 2 days. It looked like we were bottoming. Then we got another huge sell-off today. So I still think the next big move is likely to be higher rather than lower. But we can't rule out more selling, you know, in the next couple of days. But if we get that, you know, that's likely going to lead to a V-shaped rebound.
Now, how strong would you see this rebound going? And would it take us back anywhere near those highs of just a couple months ago? Or is that kind of a far-fetched idea now?
Yeah, that's a far-fetched idea. Well, we'd have to look at the retracements. And you probably look at the 38% and 50% retracement. So if it goes down there to, we'll just do 2,200 to make it easy on me while I'm looking at this. So that, I mean, a 600-point rally, we get up to about 2,800. But I don't think it's, you know, looking at, I don't know where the 38% retracement would be. But just looking at the price action, I would probably guess you could see a counter trend rally maybe 2,700, you know, 2,650, somewhere in that area could be a target for a rebound.
All right. Now, Jordan, one general question is just how long this could all go on for. Nobody knows how long this could go on for. But relating back to 1929, any thoughts on time frame in terms of how long the investors will be stuck in the weeds?
Excellent question. Well, I am not a medical professional or epidemiologist. I don't know if that's the right term or word, but a lot is going to depend on that. And I think that, you know, to be conservative, how long could this last? It could be 18 months because you're going to get a vaccine probably by fall 21. Obviously, we will make improvements by then and probably be able to slow it down by then. But in that scenario, let's say that, we're ready to completely recover by fall of 21. So maybe the market sniffs that out beforehand and bottoms, who knows, in the spring maybe. So, I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. So potentially you could have a bear market of another 12 to 15 months. What does that mean for our sector? Well, I think gold would definitely bottom before. So if it plays out that long, then you can see a bottom in gold Q4 this year. But we'll have to see, Corey. A lot is going to depend on, number one, how fast can we get this under control? And then secondly, how fast can the government, you know, reliquidate everybody so that we can have a fast recovery? And so those, I mean, it's hard to predict, but the government's taken a lot of measures already, which are going to cushion the blow a little bit. But we're going to need to see some historic helicopter drops. And, I mean, they might have to ramp these up big time to really contain the damage that could be coming.
Yeah, we're definitely going down that road. Governments, central banks are already starting to do almost everything they can, but hey, they can add a bunch of zeros to almost everything that they are doing. Let's move over to the precious metals, because again, precious metals have a bit of a headwind. They're remaining very volatile, but one thing that really stands out to me is, again, this massive discrepancy between gold and silver. Silver just took a beating this week. It dropped for a little bit of the week below $12 an ounce. It recovered a bit at the end of the week, but still, we're sitting, what, $12.40, $12.50? That's a very depressed silver price. And gold, as much as it tried to move above $1,500, closing the week below $1,500, about $1,840, or about $1,490, maybe even a little bit lower than there. Let's start with silver. What are your thoughts on this crashing silver price?
Well, unfortunately, silver broke below the 2016 low and then the late 2018 low. If you can draw a trend line from those lows, it comes into play right about $14 or so, if you're using, again, like a four-year trend line. So silver, of course, just blew right through that. I mean, I don't know, what is it trading at, a 10-year low, a 12-year, I mean, something like that. So with that, I mean, you had a complete technical breakdown in silver, which is really unfortunate. On the fundamental side, Corey, and I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, silver is going to outperform gold in an environment where you have rising inflation and rising inflation expectations, and not the environment where there's economic weakness and we're cutting interest rates, and that's better for gold and large gold producers. So we haven't been in the fundamental environment that, relatively speaking, favors silver. You know, given how we're probably going to recover, how the sector is going to recover from this bear market correction, crash, whatever you want to call it, gold is probably likely to turn first. And then when there's some stabilization in the economy, And then inflation expectations start to rise. That's when you'll see silver recover. But obviously, Corey, it depends a lot on the timing. You know, how long is it going to take to get there? And what worries me for silver is, you know, the downside target could be around 10 or in the mid nines. And I don't know how long this bear market is going to play out, but it could be really rough for silver stocks. I mean, some of these large producers that have debt, I mean, they're going to be in real trouble if this thing drags on. So silver is not looking that good, you know, both technically and from a fundamental standpoint. Now, at some point, you know, is it 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 9 months? I don't know. But at some point when we can see the other side of this, silver is going to be an incredible, amazing buy.
But we are not there yet. And hey, you still need to be very worried about a lot of these companies, not just metals companies. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's also update the COT reports for gold. You and I were looking at them quickly before we started recording this, because we are recording it after the market is closed on Friday. We're both surprised that the COT reports haven't shown, let's say, drastic pullback in the spec long position. What do you have to say about that? What are your thoughts? Update us on the COT reports as well.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to also, you know, in my updates, I'm also going to start looking at open interest and kind of compare it to what happened in 2008. But you know, if we're just looking at nominally, I have one chart where it looks like the net spec position in gold about a month ago, it got as high as 380 or 385,000 contracts. And after the last report as of Tuesday, it's down to about 300,000. That's when the gold price, I believe, was about 1525. I'd have to double check that again. But Corey, I'm just, you know, and I measure it as a percentage, and the percentage is still about 50%. I mean, open interest is coming down aggressively, which is good, but you know, it just tells me that there's still too many specs in the market. I guess, you know, we have seen a short-term floor around 1450. And so perhaps, you know, the bounce there multiple times this week, perhaps that has kept a lot of these spec longs in the market. And, you know, perhaps we really need to break below that to see this net spec position decrease dramatically. But that's kind of scary thinking about, you know, we came down to 1450, or we closed at 1525, and the net spec position is still 300,000 contracts like that. I mean, there's still a lot of liquidating that has to be done there. So, I mean, that's just not a good sign for gold and the sector as a whole. I mean, even silver, we've seen improvement there, but gold is really the one to watch, because gold's probably going to bottom first. And, you know, there's more selling from specs that we're going to have to see. And so, you know, as a gold bug, it pains me, but the gold price is more likely to go lower than higher.
Jordan, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today. I hope you have a good weekend. We will continue our discussions. Hopefully we will see a turn, but it looks like it might still be a little ways off. Thanks for your time, Jordan.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.